Well, Lady Judaty Moxon is with us for a kōrero, always outspoken, long-time commitment to our health sector. And we know that our EDs up and down the country are chock-a-block full. And certainly in lower-income communities, that is the ongoing reality. But the death of a patient after a nine-hour wait in the Waikato Hospital's emergency department has reignited serious concerns about pressure on our health system. Joining us, Managing Director of Te Kōhao Health, Lady Judaty Moxon. Lady Judaty, thanks again for joining us. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
It was tragic, but it does point to the systemic failures in our health system that these EDs are chock-a-block. And we know it's the middle of winter, but for this guy to be there 9 hours and then tragically pass away whilst in the wharepaku at the ED in Waikato just points out more clearly how far we have got to go. What can you share about this? It was in your hood. Is it an isolated tragedy or a symptom of a deeper systemic problem?
No, it's a symptom of a deeper systemic problem, and it has been there for a very long time. And, you know, it's a wonder we haven't lost anyone prior to this, because the waiting times at ED is really tragic. It's absolutely diabolical, and a lot of it has got to do with the way in which it's managed and the way in which the whole system is run. And, that's been something I've been very outspoken about for a very long time, that really we have to start devolving some of those services out into the community and out so that it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. In fact, you know, if I had my way, I would have free doctor's visits for everyone. And because that's part of the reason, of course, they go up to ED because there's nowhere else to go for one thing. But the other thing is, if the cost is diabolical after hours, if you go to an after hours emergency care facility, it's terrible. And so no one can afford it. So that's why they all end up there.
I was talking with someone the other day about environments and our people aren't served well by park our building structures. Having accompanied someone to the Middlemore ED before, it's like you go up to the nurse, he's behind a glass, you say, I've got this, he says, take a seat. There's no feedback to you about how far away you might be. If you're supporting a loved one and concerned for their welfare, there's little you can do about it. Now, this is not criticising the people, but I am criticising the processes. Would there be a way to whakamaori that experience in the ED that could help here?
Well, you know, part of the issue with a lot of the way we do things is it's because we've done it that way forever and a day, and so we continue to do it that way. But there's no manaaki, in that system. No one goes around and checks up to see if everybody's all right. I've been in ED for 14 hours with my daughter who had acute appendicitis. And 14 hours, someone else had been there for 17 hours waiting. And no one came around. You know, once they see you, that they process you, then you might be lucky to get your blood pressure taken and your vitals done, whatever they need, and then you wait. And that is just not on. And I don't think that the system that we have is actually fit for purpose, and it hasn't been for a long time. And we've got to change it. That's really the bottom line.
Look, I feel for the staff too, because they're overcrowded. They haven't got beds. But, you know, as you say, it'd be better to know than not know. And, you know, we talk about whānau water navigators who assist people through processes. There's never been a suggestion in our public hospitals anyway that somebody is there to meet and greet and smile and encourage. And a lot of our old people are just sort of sitting there bewildered by what the hell's going on as the time ticks by. You're given a number and you're in a waiting list, but that's about your whackjack. Now, overcrowded ED's workforce pressure. You understand this better than most. You've had a long involvement with the health sector. You've got to feel for the kaimahi, but what we're witnessing is just totally unacceptable. What do you think, as the long-time health advocate, needs to happen and happen quickly, too lady?
Well, they need to get more support from the community. Now, you know, by giving that support to one group is ludicrous. You need a number of groups, you know, a number of places. And you know, often it's the private sector that get the dollars, eh? Because the private sector are the ones who can run these things on their own and without government support in the main. But you know, there's a lot of us out here, Māori providers and the like. The trouble that we have is that we've got a shortage, a workforce shortage. But then, you know, most of our people get disillusioned by our health system and go overseas to Australia in the main, better money, better conditions, better everything. And here we're struggling to make ends meet on a day-to-day basis. So I think that we have to be thinking far more innovatively around what we're doing, because we have a tendency to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, but it's the same thing. And we, you know, and the other thing too is, why don't we just co-design a system that's going to work where everybody has an input into it, so that we look for a system that's going to be supportive to what the government is trying to do, save the government money, because of course, you know, that's what they're doing at the moment, saving all their pennies at the detriment of our health system. And I know that the minister has said, yes, we're putting more money in. We want to do this and we're doing that. And our GPs have got a bit of a lift after 21 years, Dale, 21 years, we finally got a lift after the claimants from the 2575 Waitangi Tribunal claim, the whole water claim, have been pumping and working hard to get a lift in there and to get that funding up for Māori providers and get that funding up for Māori PHIs. 21 years it's taken us to do it, and it's happening this year. Wow. Anyway, so that's how long it took. We don't want that to happen for the rest of the system, do we?
Well, look, I feel for everyone who is in an ED as we speak. It's the middle of winter. There's a lot of flu symptoms going around. I don't know what the situation was for this whānau who lost their loved one in Waikato, but it paints a very poor and at times ugly picture of how we are subjecting those who need our support the most to this type of service and treatment. Now, look, you've got Te Kōhao Health. After hours seems to be a barrier. Funding organisations that can do initial assessments would make sense. We've now got access to digital technologies where at least you could have a talk to somebody, say, listen, what's up with you? What are you feeling? And then prioritising them rather than, here's your number, go and sit in the waiting room. And even that's a bit crazy too, because you've got sick people. If they've got respiratory issues and they're contagious, then they're banging that around the room as well. So I mean, and you've already talked about having a whānau ward or a navigator or a Māori warden or a nice nanny or an auntie who comes in and says, "Hey, you all right? Can I give you a cup of tea? How's Koro doing?"
Yeah, that's right.
The waiting room. So these are interventions.
Somebody needs to keep an eye on the people there. You know, while we were at ED, we went up several times because various people were vomiting and really, really sick, couldn't hardly move. But, you know, then you get in the back and you're just waiting. You're still waiting. And it's just so clogged up. I mean, this was 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning and ED was full. Absolutely chock-a-block full, and they were really, really sick people. So you know, that's the answer is to keep them out of ED. That is the answer. But what we have is we've got a system that actually expects you to pay as you go. And as long as we have that system that we pay as you go, people are not going to go until it's a crisis, you know? And when they get to crisis, then they end up there at ED. And the chances of them, you know, having an incident like what has just happened in terms of someone passing away, it's rife, basically. And it's a wonder it hasn't happened before. But having said that, Dale, I just want to do a mihi out to the whānau at the loss of their loved one. And, you know, kānu te mihi atu ki a rātou, mihi aroha ki a rātou, you know, of their loss. So, because, you know, it shouldn't have happened. And it's a fact. And so apparently Waikato has a long way to go. It's one of the worst in the country, I've heard. And I'm very sad about that because they have such huge, huge reach in our region. It goes right across to Kairawhiti, you know. So they have a huge reach and we need them. We need them very, very much.
It's been cool talking with you again. Thanks very much. We need to... As Māori advocates, I mean, we're a treaty partner. We've got ideas. They're built in Pākehā ways, these ED rooms, aren't they? And they're treated.
They are indeed.
In Pākehā ways. It's not how we would treat our people. We would treat them with the manaaki that you touched on right from the get-go in our conversation that is lacking, and not from the kaimahi, but in the structures that plan for how people will attend these situations. There's a lot more we can do, a lot better as a nation we deserve. Thank you so much for joining us on the program again, 280 Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.